But what happens, how do we view the world of shrayim, in which you have a small amount of liquid, generally oil, that would serve as the medium? Is that considered to be bishul, pulling bishul to the extreme, or do we view this as being the liquid as being non-existent, and this requires libun? So we're going to see a moment in the Machaber, he's going to make a pshara, but it's machokis rishonim. The Raviyah quotes his father, Rabbeinu Yoel, that you require libun. We view the oil as being non-existent, it gets all burnt up, and basically the food is going to be close to roasted. That we're going to view tigun, frying, similar to tzli. Mashekin the Raviyah himself, and the Rush, who quotes the Raviyah, hold no, that oil is oil. There's still a coating of oil, and therefore this is the equivalent of bishul. Namely that were you to have, let's say nowadays, they have frying pans that have Teflon, that there's no need to put oil. It's not going to stick even without oil. So that would require libun, right? If there's no oil at all. But when we're dealing with a classic frying pan with which you would put oil, that's the machokas de Rav Yoh and his father. So what's the pshara of the machaber? Linyan chametz bePesach daila b'hagola. Linyan shari surim sarach libun. It's sort of counterintuitive. We would assume that if you're going to make a pshara, we'd be more machmir in terms of chametz on Pesach than we would in terms of shari surim. And over here we see that no, in terms of Pesach, you only need hagola. In terms of shari surim, there you need libun. So what over here is the distinction? So the Taz, in two words, and the Shach, a little more lengthy, point out that in terms of Pesach, we have two, we have a tarte letivuta. We have two reasons to be mekil. A, we have the shita of the Rav Yoh, that you always require hagola. You only require hagola. And B, in the world of chametz on Pesach, we have a shita of many Rishonim, among them Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, that chametz on Pesach is considered to be heterabola, and as heterabola, we can view hagola as an equivalent of libun, libun kal. That all you require is libun kal, and hagola is the equivalent of libun kal. Like we pointed out before Pesach, that in terms of how to kasher an oven, that since according to many Rishonim it's heterabola, you don't have to necessarily use a blowtorch, libun chamor, we can use libun kal. And hagola is the equivalent of libun kal. Masha'en kein in shari surim, all we have is the Rav Yoh, we don't have a terabola. Shari surim, we're dealing with isurabola. According to that line of reasoning, so if you wanted to move a frying pan from being milchik to being fleshik, and you want to take the milk out of the frying pan, that's the heterabola, that would be like Pesach, there hagola would be sufficient. If it's basar b'chalav, right, isurabola, or nevela, or trefa, etc., there you would require libun. That is the first opinion of the Shach. Then the Shach brings the second opinion in the name of Rav Menachem Azariah Mipano. We think of Menachem Azariah Mipano as one of the Mekubalim, which certainly he was. But he was also the Posek in his community in Italy, and he distinguished differently. The language of the Shach is not that clear, but Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that one should not misinterpret the Shach like he viewed the Prima Godim as misinterpreting the Shach, but Mechila Skvodo, Rabbi Akiva Eger had the tshuva of Rabbi Menachem Azariah in front of him, and it was clear that what he was saying was that the difference between Chametz and Shari Surim is one of Metzius. That in the world of Chametz, it's true that the French toast that you were making, the bread was Chametz, but the oil was kosher. It was kosher oil. Masha'en kein, when you're getting a frying pan from a goy, not only is the bacon osir, but the oil was osir. The oil was chazer shmalz. The oil also came from a source of isur. Namely, and this is the way Rabbi Akiva Eger explains the Rav Menachem of Pano, that the difference between bishul and sli isn't that in bishul you have a liquid medium, as opposed to the world of sli, that's it's a solid. It's not a question over here whether you're dealing with a solid or whether you're dealing with a liquid. What is the intensity of the blia? But rather that in the world of bishul, the blia goes through a medium of heter. The water, the oil is heter. Masha'en kein, in the world of tzli, the blia goes directly from the food into the kli that you're dealing with. And therefore, as long as the in the world of bishul, the liquid is a liquid of heter, that's where we're makel on hagala. But let's say you were to cook chicken in wine, in gallo wine. You were to cook chicken, kosher chicken, in gallo wine. So there, that would be the equivalent. You would require libun, according to Menachem Azar Mipano, because the medium, the gallo wine, is also, namely, it's not a difference over here between tzli and bishul. This has a liquid, this doesn't have a liquid. The question is, how does the bliya go in? Is the bliya going through a heter, or is the bliya, an Easter, going directly in? So the moment that the liquid is usser, then we need a libun. So if the oil is treif, you require libun. In other words, that here we have the distinction between the first teirut of the shach, the one of hetera bala, and the teirut of Rav Menachem Azaria. Namely, that according to Rav Menachem Azaria, let's say we had a milchik frying pan, not only did we make a milchik frying pan, we made pancakes with milk, and let's say that we used milk as our medium. So then that would require a libun if you want to make that parva, because the milk went straight in. Namely, as opposed to previously we spoke about that as being heterabala. No, this is not a din of heterabala. It's a question as to whether we have a direct bliya or an indirect bliya. Okay, so that's what the shach, that's what the Kiva Eger here points out. B'mechilas kvod toroso of the Prima Gadim, Hamayim v'tshuvas Menachem Azar yirashe eno kein, that which he wrote, the difference was whether the oil is really there or it all burns up. Ela de be'ovei kochavim darkam levashel b'machavas imashkim mashke isur chelav mahutach v'nivlo ha'isur atzom b'kli b'li emtsai. It's true that the food is chametz, but the oil that you have over there, that's not chametz, and therefore it went into an oil which is not chametz, that then hagola is enough. Yes?
According to the Svarah, how is there even a category of kalim which were used for bishul? Aren't we assuming that the akum always uses some sort of iser, usser?
No, usually bishul is water. Bishul is water. Water is het there.
But, I mean, we're assuming machvas also sometimes used for other things, but once in a while they put...
No. We're saying a machvas classically is used for oil. You fry in oil. You cook in water and you fry in oil. Water, by its nature, is mutter. I gave the example of cooking in wine, that then that would be the nachgamina, right? But classically you cook in water. Classically you fry in oil. Water is mutter, even when a goy cooks, he's cooking in water. The oil, that's enough to mean, when a goy cooks, he's cooking in treif oil. In Mashein Kein for Pesach, when a Jew fried, he fried in kosher oil. Okay, that's basically the difference. Okay, so this makes its way back into that tshuva that I gave you last time about the cast iron pots that were seasoned. That over here, the seasoning that went into the cast iron pot was treif. So, according to Rav Menachem Azaria, you would require libun. But if you don't like Rav Menachem Azaria, as long as we had a certain amount of seasoning that was the equivalent of bishul, so then you require hagala. And so the Rabbi David Cohn of the CRC, he said, Nachon, we have Rav Menachem Azaria, who's quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger and by the Shach, but that's a Das Yachid. But most poskim disagree. And they say it's not a question of whether the oil is mutter or asa, but rather the fact that you're using a liquid. So he quotes the Ramah. I don't know which Ramah he's quoting, the Magen Avraham. That's probably in Hilchos Pesach, and the Chasam Sofer. Okay. The Seder, okay, but that, you know, it's just to be able to read through what Rabbi Cohn wrote, now you'll be able to understand that. But at the beginning of the year, I said that after learning, I don't expect us to be poskim, but I expect us to be able to read a tshuva and to understand it. So now you can read a tshuva, it's really in English as well, but now you can read a tshuva and at least understand what he's talking about. Okay, that's all what we have in Sif Dalet. Sif Hey. Im higyo kli hatzarech libun, osur lehishtamish bochamen afilu shelo ayedei ha'esh. This is a question that Tosus raises in Chulin on Daf Ches Amad Aleph. The Gra over here quotes it in Sifkatan Yud. Tosus in Chulin says, you have a kli that requires libun, and you don't have a blowtorch, so you're magil the kli. So the question is, can you now use this kli for bishul? Not for tzli. Can you use the kli for bishul because whatever came out via the hagol already came out. It's not going to come out anymore. Or do we say no? That since this kli originally required libun, it meant that the penetration was so deep that hagola the first time is going to take it out, and every time you use it, a little more and more is going to come out. That's the question over here. So it's two deos in Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam is mekel, that if you were magil this kli that really requires libun, you can now use it for cooking, not for frying and not for roasting, but for cooking. Masha Einkein, Tosos himself disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam and says there's no raya, because according to you, Rabbeinu Tam, let's say you have a kli cheres. We know the kli cheres, you cannot be magil. But let's be magulate and say, well, whatever would have come out, it already came out, and now use it for bishul. In fact, you can't do that, means that something remains inside. And that's the way the Mechaber paskins him. Higil kli hatzarach libun osur lishtemish bo b'chamim afilu shelo ayedei ha'esh, because we're afraid that something still is always going to continue coming out. Yes?
Isn't that a little bit of a weak raya? Because that's the whole point of kli cheres, that no matter what you do to it, there's still time that's left into it.
Fine, but there's no reason to assume that a kli matechet that requires libun, and you're doing hagala, is different conceptually than a kli cheres. Namely, you have no raya. There's no raya that whatever would have come out, came out. Because we don't say that by a kli cheres. In achinami, you could distinguish, but we don't have any raya one or another. It's a question of svara. And so over here, Tosus is Machmir. Rabbeinu Tam is Mekel, Tosus is Machmir. And the Mechaber Paskins like Tosus, who is Machmir. I might say Tosus, I just don't know who exactly is about Tosus. That maybe it's the Rivah, but it's not clear. Bikul ke over there in Tosus, Tafkasam and Allah. It comes along the Ramah and points out, Aval muter lehishtamish bo sonein, afil lechatkhila ayedei hadocha v'shifshif heitev. This takes us back to Siman Sadi Aleph. We have a kli that's usr, and you want to use it just for cold, even cold liquid. So we saw that the Ramah allows one to use it for cold liquid as long as dafka derech arai. Right? As long as you're doing it only occasionally, it's what the Shach stressed very much. Gon shuba beis ovid kochavim. Oh, bidyevet, etc. Aval emrosa l'shtamish bo bekeva, yesh machmim v'omrim shafilu l'shtamish bo tzonin tzorech hagola o libun gzeira shem yishtamish bo chamim. Okay, that we already saw. What about putting into this kli, even ba'ofen arai, a davar lach charif, something that's a vinegar salad, a vinegar salad dressing that would be very, very sharp. So the Taz in Sifkatan Vav, which talks about a little later on, dvarim charifim, says that is not a problem, but the Shach in Sifkatan Yud says l'chatzchilo you shouldn't do it. Again, these are l'chatzchilos. It's not really going to be a blia, but the moment you begin putting in cold, the next thing you know, you're going to put it in hot, etc. Okay, it's all the gzera shema. V'hochi noagin. V'afilu kelim shetashmishan b'tzonen, im yesh lochu shechimim ubo, yayin gong kli kesev, etc. Noagin lahagil, v'ein l'shanot. That if you're getting a kli from a goy, you went to a yard sale, and the goy is selling you a kli, and it's clear that the general uses of this kli was b'tzonein, but it's possible that it was used also b'cham. So here we're going to see, when we learn Hilchos Pesach, that in the world of Hagol, if you don't know what it was used for, and you have a rov tashmish, generally we're allowed to go after rov tashmish. You don't have to be choshish. But the Ramah says that as long as there is a serious possibility that it was used b'cham, you should be magulet. But the Eved, we're not machmir b'al chatchila, one should even worry about miut tashmish. The Shach over here in Sifkatan Tesvav points out that if it's not like just a possible shash, but there's a real suffix what it was used for. So then it's not just l'chatzchilo, then even b'di'eved you require hagola. So that's what we have over here in this Rama. Let's move over to Siv Vav. Klei matechet, af al pi sheyesh omrim nishtamesh bahu iser b'miktsaso, ne'esar kulo, mishum decham miktsaso, cham kulo, avolinyan hechshero, lo ola lo hechsher, ad sheyachshir kulo, bein le'inyan haga'ola, bein le'inyan libun. In other words, that even, again, we have this principle that we already saw of cham miktsaso, cham kulo. Now, that means, literally, that heat tends to be conducted by metal, and if you heat one end of a metal rod, the other end of the metal rod is also going to get hot because of the principle of conduction. Comes along the Rashba, and he says, because of this principle, not only does the metal rod become hot, but if you dipped one end of metal rod into a soup that was boiling, a tray soup that was boiling, the bria is going to go into the entire kli. And therefore, the kli matechet, even though you only used it, let's say you're doing with a spoon, you only use the bottom part of the spoon in the tray soup, but you have to be magil the entire spoon. Correct? That's what the way the Mechaber paskins. Comes along the Ramah, and he says, "V'dafkav nishtamish b'kulo im yadua shelo nishtamish rak b'ktaso kabelo kach polto." Here we have a machlokes achronim, what the Rama meant. Because if we open up the Tur also says like the Rama, but explains what he says. The Tur says, "I agree with the Rashba. I agree with the Rashba that there's a concept of conduction, and not only does the heat move, but also the bria moves." However, how did the bria move? It moved because only one part of the spoon was hot. So if I'm going to be magil that one part of the spoon, kabol o kach polto. The same way that the ta'am went in from the part of the spoon that was hot, it's going to come out from the part of the spoon which I'm being magil. Namely, in achinami, I agree with the svara of the Rashba, but let's take it all the way. Let's be consistent. And the same way that it went in, it's going to also come out. Maybe that is what the Rama is saying. That's one option. Or the other option of what the Rama is saying, and this is the Shach over here in Sifkatan Yudzayin. First he says what we just said, and then smack in the middle of Sifkatan Yudzayin, he writes, Avoham Maharam Moretzedek, Memtzari. Avoham Maharam Moretzedek Kosa B'tshuva. That maybe what the Rama over here is saying is something else. That really, cham miktsaso, cham kulo, only means that heat spreads. But the bria never spread. The bria never spread. The bria always remained. Nafgamina, if let's say I have this spoon, and I use the bottom part of the spoon to stir treif soup. Okay? And now I'm going to magil the spoon. Before I magil the spoon, could I turn it upside down and now stir my coffee with the other part of the spoon? According to the Tur, chas v'shalom, that part of the spoon also has the bliya of the non-kosher soup. According to the Maram Moret Tzedek, why not? Only the heat went into that other part of the spoon. The bliya never went into that part of the spoon. So there's a nafkimina, how we understand the Rama. So here, since we're going soon to learn Im Yitzah Hashem, Orachayim, and the Rama, and we have a parallel halachos and orachayim to these simanim, namely siman tafnun aleph and tafnun beis. So rather than keep you in suspense, the Rama in siman tafnun aleph sif yud beis, I should start off, the Mishnah Brura in siman tafnun aleph sif katan samach tes learns the Rama like the first part of the Shach, like the Tur. Right? Just read the line. Afilu b'kli mateches mishum de'amrinan k'shem shenivra hachametz b'hayad, in the handle. Al yedei guf hakli, via hamiksas ocham kulo, kenata nifrat mimeno yedei hagogah shel guf hakli.
Yeah? This came up before in study
Yes? So we pointed out that there is a difference between the world of bliya and the world of plita. The difference between what, in other words, Over there, we were speaking in terms of what goes in, not what comes out. We're not speaking over there about Hagala. Right. That's in terms, again, of what's coming out. What's coming out into the Tarovas.
Right.
But here we're not talking about what's coming out into the Tarovas. We're talking... Oh, you mean the case I just gave. The case I just gave about the other half of the spoon.
If we're saying that you can put part of the... If the Rav is assuming that when you put part of the spoon into something, it's going to absorb and you can be magil in that way, so then why doesn't he assume when you put part of a spoon which is full of glios into the pot that all the glios...
Exactly, that's the Maharam Meretzedek. That's why he doesn't learn the Ramah that way. He says that's very nice. The Tur says that. Everyone agrees the Tur says that, but how can you put that into the Ramah? The problem is that the Ramah's language is kibolo kachpolto. That's the language of the Ramah. In other words, the language of the Ramah is really mashma that he is simply making a concise version of the Tur.
Then how do you deal?
It's a problem. But the Mishnah Berurah learns that way. Halacha l'maisa. He learns that the Ramah is like the Tur, and then that appears we have a steer in the Ramah between Hilchos Pesach and Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph and Siman. What? No, doesn't mention as the Chumra for Pesach. Okay, so look over there in Sifkat on Samach Tes in the Mishnah. It's an excellent question. That's point number one. Point number two is the Taz Alatar. The Taz Alatar points out that this Kula of the Ramah, that we say Kabolo Kachpolto, is a din in Hag'ola, not in Libun. Namely, let's say again, we put a non-kosher hot dog on a spit, and we hold it over the fire. So the non-kosher hot dog is going to be absorbed in the part of the spit which is attached to the hot dog. What about the rest of the spit? So the Machaber says that the rest of the spit also requires Libun, because the Bria went Chamiksoso Chamkulo. The Ramah says that if we were dealing with the world of Hag'olah, so we could say Enachiname, you should be Magil the rest, but as long as you're Magil that spot, it's as though you are Magil the rest, because Kabbalah Kachpolto. But that's only in terms of Hag'olah. In terms of Libun, the Ramah would agree you have to be Malabi in the second part as well. Because the whole din of Hag'olah is to draw out the Bliya. So the same way that a Bliya was drawn in, it can be drawn out. But Libun is not drawing something out. Libun is destroying. And Libun only destroys that which turns white hot. That which the heat of the Libun affects directly, not indirectly. Okay, so that's the only where the Libun itself is. And if you're going to be Malabin, let's see, an oven, you have to be very, very careful slowly to move the blowtorch over the oven so that every square inch of the oven is slowly changing color, is slowly being impacted by the Libun. The third Nakuda is that the language of the Ramah over there, the Machaber Paskins, in Tufnun Aleph, Yudeis, Kol HaKelim Tzarech LaHagil Yedoseihen Kamosan. You have to be magil the handles. Why? Because of Chamiksaso Chamkulo. Says the Ramah, Miu Imlo Higilu HaYados Ein Le'esor B'dieved. Namely, that his whole din, what he writes over here, is a dieved. L'chatzchila, he agrees with the Machaber. Okay? And that L'chatzchila, he agrees with the Machaber that we should not be somech on Kabbalah Kachpolto, but rather we L'chatzchila should be magil the entire kli, including the handle. Okay, that's Sifot. Sif Zayin. This is the last Sif of Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph, and it deals with knives. So here, there's a fascinating story on the last Amud, the last few lines, the Masechet Avodah Zarah, that there was an Amora along with an individual who those ordering daf yomi is defined as an eved meshuchar who didn't receive a get shichur. In other words, sort of like someone being on the way to becoming a Jew. The two of them visited a king called Shvor Malka, who was a goy. And Shvor Malka was eating esrog. So we know once upon a time esrog was edible. He took his knife and he cut a piece of esrog and he ate it. Then he took his knife, the same knife, cut another piece of esrog and gave it to this eved who was not meshukrar. And then he took the knife and he stuck it 10 times into the ground and then cut the esrog to give a piece to Mar Yehuda, who was the Amora who was there. So the eved was very upset that it was like why is he kashering the knife to give to the Amora? Why does he kasher the knife to give it to him as well? So the Gemara says he has two answers of Shvor Malka. One is, I know that he's frum. I had no idea whether you're frum or not. The other, which is a little sharper, is that the Persians, Shvor Malka was the Persian king, had a custom of hafnasas orchim, of having a very nubile, that's the word, young lady, knock on the door of every guest. Are they interested in her in spending the night with her? And Mar Yehuda said no, and the other fellow did not say no. And so Shvor Malka figures, this is the frumi, and this is the, you know, it's, in any case, but what do we see? That you can take a knife that's full of goyish chazer shmaltz, etc., and you can be machshir it via the itza. That's what you see from the Gemara. That's what the Gemara ends up. So therefore, sakin yashan, a sakin that has that was used by a goy, ben gadol ben katan, hanikach me'oved kochavim, you're now purchasing it for use. Im ba lehishtamesh bitzonein, ein ba gumos, if all we're concerned about is the whatever is smeared on the outside of the knife. We're concerned about the shamnunis, which is smeared on the outside of the knife, and there are no gumos, there are no crevices that it can get stuck. So no atza asara pa'amim bekarka kasha, betzorch shekol nitza ne'itza tiye bekarka kasha. And that will remove all of the outer surface, okay? Vafilu, then he continues, lachtoch bo davar charef. Over there in the Gemara, they were dealing with an esrog. Esrog is a citrus fruit. It's more like nowadays a lemon. It would be considered to be a davar charef, kamotz known, sagi v'hachi. Meaning that not only does the ne'itza take away the outer surface, it takes out the blia to a degree such that the davar charef is not going to now pull out the blia. It preempts the davar charef. That's what you see from the Gemara. Okay, so ne'itza has two functions. It cleans the outside of the knife, as long as ein bo gumos, and it even takes away a certain degree of blia, such that a davar charef is not going to pull out those blios. However, bottom line is, lishtamish bo bekviyus, says the Rama, logar mishar klish noagim lahagil afilu betzonein. In other words, we don't like to use etzos, even for tzonein, but rather we should use hagala. As we saw in Siman Sadi Aleph and in Siman Kufay, etc., that even if it's not, even if this is an eitza, we don't want to use it on a kavua level. Just if you buy Shvor Malka and he cuts you a piece, right, after the eitza, you can eat it. However, im yesh ba gumos, and so we can't get rid of the be'en, sherotza lach toch ba chamin, and then so we're concerned about the be'en which is not going to come out via the itza, and we have a blia that the chamin are going to pull out that maybe the itza would not have been enough for, o rishchotba, assuming we have chom beis hashrita, it's also like chamin, so then we can't use the itza, we have to use libun, mag milabna, we have to use libun. O, says the machaber, mashchiza b'mashchezet shel napachim heitev al pnei kulo. We can, you know what the process is called when you take a knife and put it on a grindstone?
Sharpen?
Well, sort of.
To wet.
To wet? W-H-E-T. In other words, the purpose is, you know, it's basically you're going to create heat with the friction of the knife and the grindstone, and that will be the equivalent of libud. Namely, that will remove all the outer schmutz, but it's also going to remove more than the itza. It's going to remove from the inside as well. Okay?
Constant friction. Meaning, if you take a stone or a piece of lead, I think they take, and you go like this, and you go like this, and you remove it. That's not kind
no,
of
no, no, that's what he says. The mashchezet shel nafachim. You're dealing over here with a grindstone
constantly.
Which is constantly turning, and you're always going to have sparks that are flying from the from this action. This is the mechaber. That's the shita of the Rambam, that hashchaza is the equivalent of libun, that the friction creates heat like libun. However, the Rama says, yesh omrim the hashchaza lo mahani rak lach toch batzone, avolo le'inyan chamin v'hochi nohug le'chatchila. The le'chatchila, you should not use hashchaza. Hashchaza is only going to be, this is a Rashba shita, it's only going to be the equivalent of ne'itza. I mean, you haven't done more than ne'itza. And ne'itza, we pointed out, is good for tzonein, even for davar charif, but not for davar cham. Okay. Then the Rama gives a whole list of, but what if, and what if, and what if. Namely, what should you do? Look at, in other words, yes?
One question, this is a bit of b'shem poskim.
Yeah.
And this is v'harki noheg. This is, no, harki noheg is going in the Rama, right?
That the Rama says that you, v'harki noheg l'chatzchila. This is the Rama saying that l'chatzchila, you should be malgabein, the entire sakin meaning the blade, and the handle.
And the Beit Yosef, why did they insert it here, in the Rama? What was its purpose?
The Beit Yosef, in name of Poskim, Beit Yosef quotes the Rashba, who disagrees with the Rambam.
So why does it tell us, I mean, could you go to Beit Yosef? Why does it bring it to us here?
I don't understand the question.
Meaning it's quoting the Beit Yosef telling us that no, Beit Yosef says this in the name of the Poskim.
Yes.
But why don't we just go to Beit Yosef and we need to look? Why does it tell us to go and look? Why this Beit Yosef? Why not other places?
We have throughout the Rama that the either the Rama himself or the editors of the Rama put in his sources. And so this is the source of this Rama.
So this is the part where the Rama and Beit Yosef, they're similar in their questioning.
The Beit Yosef over here paskins in the Machaber like the Rambam, that Hashchaza is the equivalent of Libun. The Rama over here quotes a Yesh Omrim that Hashchaza is not the equivalent of Libun. Where did he find that Yesh Omrim? The Beit Yosef quotes that B'Shem HaPoskim.
Okay?
Okay. So v'hochi nohag l'chatchila, not to view hashchaza as the equivalent of libun, but rather if you want to buy a knife from a goy and you want to use it for chamin, then you should be malabin the knife, put it into a self-cleaning oven, and such that the libun is going to affect everything. It's going to affect the knife. It's going to affect the handle. That maybe there are gumos, etc. You require libun. Okay.
Well, how is that enough? That's libun chamor.
In a self-cleaning oven is libun chamor.
Ah.
Okay. Self-cleaning oven is libun chamor.
Depends
what the handle is made out of. Yeah. Right. Okay. The v'hachi nog l'chatchila. V'im lo yuchal l'gavein hasakin heitev mishum hakasa. And if you have Yeshaya's problem that maybe the kasa, the handle, would not stand up to a libun, so yilabnenu, so be malabin the blade, the yigilena acharkach, and then be magil the handle. Okay? The umihu im libno velo higilo, but if you just did the libun on the knife and didn't do the hagah on the handle, afilu yesh bogumos, oem higilo, if you were magil the knife, velo libno, the ein bogumos, then in this situation, v'chatach bo hamachal, Cham lo ne'esar afilu besakin ben yomo, because the bottom line is that you did a hagala. V'im hishchiza b'mashchezet heitev b'chol makom v'higilo acharkach mahani afilu chatchila k'mo libun. That even though we had this yesh omrim that we mentioned that did not view hashchaza like libun, but b'di'evet, ki b'samach an ha'machaber im yuchal l'nakos agumo shabbat. Namely that l'chatchila should be malab in everything. If you can be malab in everything, do libun on the blade and hagola on the handle. If you can't do that, at least do hagola on the handle and on the knife. If you can't do that, at least do hashchaza on the knife. And
last stage, the Rami is doing hashchaza on the knife and hagola on the handle, or hashchaza and then hagola on the knife?
I understood hashchaza on the knife and hagola on the handle. And as long as you get rid of the be'en, which in the Itza also was, in the Itza had a certain point of uniqueness in the fact that not only did he remove the b'liyah, but also he removed the be'en. Hagala doesn't necessarily remove be'en. Libud removes be'en and b'liyah. But so in other words, there's this whole list of bottom lines. Then we have over here a shach, who after explaining the machaber, it's the end of this particular siman. So he has a whole story about a person, Kosa Baterezov, he quotes the Levush, that a person, what? The Shach Sivkat An Chof. After explaining the difference between Hashchaz and Libun, there's two dots, and it says Kosa Baterezov. And it deals with a situation of when you had silverware that you wanted to put bimagil, you had this vat of hot water, and you imagil silverware, and you have enough hot water in the vat that each individual piece of silverware is but whatever b'liyah there may be in it is batal b'shishim. But when you add up the pieces of silverware, you're not going to have shishim against all of the pieces. And you're putting the silverware in one by one. So the question is as to whether we can say, because they're kama batal, that you put one in and then the b'liyah is batal, and another one and the b'liyah is batal. Or do we say chozer v'nir? At some point the b'liyah is going to say, just a minute, I'm more, you know, there's more b'liyah than there is shishim. So that's it. So the Shach quotes a daya that we say kama kama bata, he disagrees, and so he says, what do you do with such silverware? You wait 24 hours, wait until it's Eino Ben Yomo, and then there's no problem, you don't require shishim, only require shishim on silverware which is Ben Yomo. Okay, Tov, okay, that's what we have over here in Siman Kuf Kaf Ala. Kuf Kaf Beis may look like oh wow, no, you know, Yud Beis Sifim, but it's really a chazara of 99% of Kuf Kaf Beis. You should make you feel good as you're learning through it. I learned this. Okay. Oh, well, come on, Yeshaya. Not everyone got in that. You're great on the Bechira. Baruch Hashem. Hilchos no sein ta'am lifgam. Okay? Aleph. No sein ta'am lifgam mutter. Okay, that's the basic axiom of the entire Sima. Sif Beis. Kedera she'ena bas yoma, dahinu she'sha'asa me'eis le'eis, mishin isbash lubo ha'isur, havya no sein ta'am lifgam. And therefore, we say that it's basically a ta'am heter. However, afilu hachi, osru chachamim levashel ba lechatchila. We know that you're not allowed to use a kli she'eno ben yomo, lechatchila gezeira eno ben yomo, otu bat ben yomo, otu bas yoma. Bein shebelua me'isur u'balavashel baheter, bein shebelua me'chalav, balavashel ba'basar, o itcha. Okay? But over here, the Pisrei Tshuva in Sifkatan Beis points out, he quotes a Nodi Yehuda, that according to this, al pisvara, what if this kli was balei an isur drabanan, and then you waited 24 hours? So then, to make a gzera, Eino ben yomo, otu ben yomo, is making a gzera l'gzera. And it should be mutter. So, but so the Nodi Yehuda points out, we don't find anywhere such a heter, so kanera, kula chad gzera hi, over here we are gozer gzera l'gzera, etc. Okay, in other words, it's a nice try, but it doesn't really have any halacha l'maisa implications. Although, if you look in the brackets, he does quote those who were makel, but l'maisa, we don't distinguish. Gimel, yesh omrim ha dechashvei peguma kesheina bas yoma, dafka kesha kedera yofa, v'sar mimena kol shamnunes isur hadovakva, avolim lohi dicha yofa, sheha isur hu be'en, eino nifgam b'shihias me'eis le'eis. So the question over here is, what was not nifgam? Maybe start off. Let's start off over here. The Machaber is assuming that even though Me'eis le'eis is going to be pogem a b'liya, it's not going to be pogem a be'en, a mamashus, even if that mamashus is a very, very thin layer of mamashus. This is the shita we saw of the Rashba. The Gra over here points out that the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban holds that we view a thin layer of Be'en as the equivalent of a Bliya, but we don't paskin like the Ramban. Okay? We paskin that the moment you have Be'en, the Be'en is, the Bliya is going to be Nifka by 24 hours, the Be'en is not going to be Nifka. Here the Ramah points out, the Ramah points out that if you have a tam eno ben yomo and you have shamnunis, you only require shishim against the shamnunis. The eno ben yomo remains pagum. The Gra points out that the Maharshal, the Sifkat Anches, Loka Maharshal. The Maharshal says the moment you have a thin layer of be'en, that allows the Bliya to maintain its potency. In other words, it doesn't allow the Bliya to turn into a tam pagum. It's interesting, Svara, but we're makil. Yes?
And eventually this be'en and the pot will have to become a gun.
When it turns into a tam, eno ro'i l'achila skelef, when it turns into that. Right. We don't know what point it'll turn into that. Okay, it depends what the ben is made out of. Okay.
So it does turn into...
Once it turns into that...
You have to wait another 24 hours then?
It's not a question. No, once everything is tam pogum, so everything is tam pogum. That's the reality. Okay. Then the Ramah continues, Yesh omrim de bidvarim charifim lo amrin on din dosein tam of gam kamoshin isbar. We learned this, that dovar charif neutralizes this dosein tam of gam, but one has to be careful of what we're speaking about. So Ramah points out, Lachain, im bishol kederas isur she'eno bas yoma ma'achal charif, you pull a pot out of your pantry that you haven't used for a month, and you're mevashel in it, onion soup, gon tavshel shirubo chomet, so tavlin o shar dvarim charifin, then asur, then that's mashveh, the davar charif is going to be mashveh, the tam in the pot, to a ta'am l'shevach. Aval, if you're making some vegetable soup that happens to have a few onions, that's not called a davar charif. But he says, aval, im hayah iser davar charif. If let's say you had made a treif onion soup, and then you mevashel heter sheino charif, you made a vegetable soup, mutar, eina charifus harishon mashal l'sheva. Namely, the power of davar charif is to take a bliya and turn it from an eno ben yomo to a ben yomo. But if a davar charif is the nivra, it's not going, after 24 hours, that itself is going to become a eno ben yomo, and nothing but another davar charif is going to change that. Okay. The over here we have a pisrei tshuva, Sifkat on Gimel, who quotes the Chacham Tzvi, who gives a heter that we mentioned, I think, back in Hilchos Taharos, but we didn't see it inside. Ayin shuvas chacham tzvi, simon ayin hei, shepasak lahatir, im bishlu bepesach dover charif, bekederas chametz, sheavra yudbeis chodesh. You're making borscht on Pesach. And use a kedera of chametz you haven't used for a year, after asrinu bepesach no sein tam lefgam, but here, there is no tam. Achar yudbeis chodesh leka ta'am klal. That even though a dover charif, we pointed out, can take a tam and make it into a shevach, but after 12 months, there's no one considered to be a tam in the kli. It's as though the tam turned to afar ba'alma. So there's nothing for the davar charif to work on. So I mentioned that even though poskim are not somach on this chacham tzvi as a heter per se, but they use it as a snifla heter. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, if someone found in their attic a set of china from their great-grandmother, right, who came over in the Mayflower. And but they have no idea whether the great-grandmother had used this set of china from Milchiks or Fleishiks. And it's cheres, it's china. So to throw it away is a hefsed merubah. So Rav Moshe says that since it sat more than 12 months without being used, and in addition to that, take each piece and be magil it three times. So even that alone would not be a heter, but when you combine that shita and the chacham tzvi 12 months, we can use a set of china. Vahu Adin, Rav Moshe says, if you were to buy a house from a non-Jew, and the house hasn't been used for a year, it's been sitting there empty for a year, and there's a dishwasher in the house, and by you a dishwasher is not a luxury but a necessity, So then, you know, you can also be magil the dishwasher, and even though there are parts of the dishwasher that are porcelain or plastic, etc., we can add in the 12 months in order to be matir. Okay. Sif Dalad. Sif Dalad, Kedei Rehablu, Mibasar V'chalav, Im Kodim Shavar Laila, Echad Chimabu B'mayim, Chashiv Ki'ilu, Chazar V'nisbashal B'ha, Isur V'chule. This we learned back in Siman Kuf Gimel. Okay. Hey, Iser Muat Shenivra Bikrisha Darko Shemoshtamish Bobeheter Muat. This we learned back in Siman Sadi Tet, right? This was the Rashba of the Shefa. Sif Vav. Stam Kli. Okay, fine. Okay. Stam Kli Ove Kochavim Heim Becheskas Sheinam Bnei Yoman. Lafikachim Avar Benishtamish Bahem Kodem Hechsher Hatavshil Mutar. That here we have a double whammy, that the Bera Gola points out. We have all sorts of sugyos in Avodah Zarah, where we have the sugyos of Blia, that are mashma, that certain foods that were cooked by Goyim were allowed to eat. Those foods may be kosher, right? You go in Central Park, so you have one Goy making corn on the cob, and another Goy is roasting chestnuts. Right? So there are sugyos in Avodah Zarah that you can, assuming there's no problem of bugs, you can eat the corn on the cob, or you could, and you can eat the chestnuts. But maybe that goy used that kli the previous night to make a chalant with non-kosher meat, etc. I mean, it's a kli of a goy. So what's the heter? So the heter is that stam kelim of a goy are einon b'nei yoman, and b'dieved we can use that which was made in the kli of the goy. Right, and b'dieved means it was already cooked. It was already roasted. Where does this come from? So Tosus points out in the sugi over there in Avodah Zarah that we have a sveika. Maybe the goy did not use it in the last 24 hours. And even if he used it, maybe he used it for an Easter, which is no Saint Tam of Gam in corn or no Saint Tam of Gam in chestnuts. Okay, that's the sveika. So if you recall, we saw this quoted back in the Shachin, Kolei Sveika. That we're saying maybe it's mutter because it's no Saint Tam Lef Gam, or maybe it's mutter because it's no Saint Tam Lef Gam. That's a sveik sveika mishem echad. Since when do we, you know, one of the rules of sveik sveika is that you require shtei shemos. So the Shach pointed out that if you have one heter, which is one side of suffix, which is more all inclusive, and the other, which is more less inclusive, that's considered to be a sveik sveika. So maybe we have over here a particular heter in terms of chestnuts, or in terms of corn. Or maybe we have an overall heter, no matter what you'd be cooking in this kedera, because the goy really didn't use it for the last 24 hours. Okay. The Pisrei Tshuva al Atar in Sivkot and Dalet points out that when we speak about stam kelim of a goy, we're speaking about stam kelim. But let's say we know that this goy is poor. He only has one bowl, and during the daytime he roasts chestnuts in it, and at night he eats his supper in it. We can't say stam kelim of a goy, reinam b'nei yomah. Or we know that there's a restaurant that has a very small selection of kelim, and they're constantly putting them, constantly using and washing and using and washing. In other words, so you can't say stam kelim of a goy reinam b'nei yomah. Right? It only applies in a situation where you're dealing with a normal goy who doesn't use all of his kelim every 24 hours. But if we know that this goy is using all of his kelim every 24 hours, then we can't go ahead and be mekel. Then the question rose, the Shach raises the question, the Taz, why don't we just ask the Goy whether he used the last 24 hours? And the answer is, let's say, he's not Neman. He's simply not Neman. In other words, we can't necessarily go ahead and ask the Goy. You know, is there a unique situation, some Messiah Kofitumo, or a Goy that you're so Mechan in monetary matters, v'chulei, but classically, a Goy does not have Ne'emanus. And therefore, the Ramah points out, Aval im starts off, Imchime Mayim Beklisha Bekochavim Losh Bahem Pas, that's not called the Dieved, right? You're not getting any Hanoah from the Mayim. That's still a Chatzchila. You still want to use it for something. Aval Dover Hanase Bishvigo Velo Bishvil Dover Acher, Aval Pishushal Bekochavim Yisrael Konami Menor Chatzchila Mutar. The Me'achar Shekvar Nase Bielo Bekochavim Mikri Bidieved, right? That the chestnuts that he made, you can eat. Because we'll assume that he's a normal goy who has more than one kli, and the particular kli that's in front of us is a sveik sveika of no Saint Tam lifgam. and he already cooked in it, so that's what's mutar. However, so continues the Mechaber, afal pikein, osar lomar lovet kochav and basheli yirakot pekaderka. That's lechatchila. Lechatchila, there's no heter. Only if he made it already b'di'evet. Okay? Sif Zayin. Kishem shestam kleim shodek kochav meinam b'nei yomon, kach stam kelim shelanu b'cheskas enam b'nei yomon. Right? That's the same sveik sveika applies to both. However, here the Pisrei Tshuva and Sifkot and Vav points out, but here you can ask the Jew. You know, the Jew has ne'emanah, so you know, you're only allowed to say stam kelim if the Jew's not around. If the Jew is around, so then l'chora kol ma'idev shalavarer mevarerinam. One should check these things out as to whether it is or isn't ben yomo. I mean, here the issue would be more milchiks, fleishiks, etc.
If he doesn't remember.
So we have the right to assume we have a sveik sveika. That turns it back into stam. Okay, kli ches. Kli sheneesar bebliyas iser v'nesariv ba'acherim v'eno nikar batel v'rof. This we learned, as you recall, back in Siman Kuf Beis. The hava mina is that we would call kelim dover sheesh lamatirin, because you could be magil them. Kamash malan, that since agola requires expenses, so therefore we can have the principle of batel v'rof. This happens all the time, right? That you take out one of your forks to put it aside because you're afraid it was used milchik fleishik, and then a good Samaritan puts it back in the drawer and you have no idea which fork it was. So kli sheneesar bebliyas iser v'nesariv ba'acherim v'eino nikar batel v'rov. Sif tes yesh lehizoher milohaniach v'beis kovei kochavim klei su'uda dechayshinon shema yishtamesh v'hem. Comes along the Ramah and helps us and just explains. Afilu im nostan l'uman l'taknam. Let's say you have a pot and the handle broke and you take it to your local goy to fix the handle. So tzarech lasos behem simon shelo yishtamish behem ovei kochavim. It's very likely that the goy would use it for his own purposes. However, v'im avar v'lo asa kishechazer v'lachem anagoy tzrichim hagola. Because over here we have a problem. But it's only a problem if they were by the goy for a short period of time, because then you can't build a sveik sveika. Avol lefi sha'a ein lachush. Namely, if you only take it to the goy for a half hour, so it's very unlikely that in that half hour he actually used it. If you take it to the goy in the morning, you say, I'll pick it up at night, that's where the fear is that he may have used it. And also, he took it on a Sunday and he's going to pick it up on a Thursday. Oh, reminds me, I have to pick up my daughter's shoes from the shoemaker. Okay. That's not part of the shiur, just reminding myself. Okay. you always will scratch it from the record, right? In words, maybe I took it on Sunday. I'm picking it up on Thursday. Maybe he used it on Monday. Okay, we're back to our sveik sveika. All of these are chashashas, and there's no reason why we should. In words, it's a chashasha, so these are all chatzilas, not b'diavad. Because we don't have a sveik sveika. Etc. So over here, the issue is, dun, 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 dun. In other words, what are all these heterim, you know, where it's to use this kli. I mean, it's a kli that may be an eno ben yomo. And if it may be an eno ben yomo, we're not allowed to use a kli shen ben yomo l'chatzchila. So here, the Shach points out that really we have over here three sveikos. Maybe he didn't use it at all. And maybe if he used it, he only used it 24 hours ago. And if he used it within 24 hours, then maybe he used it with no... In other words, as opposed to previously, the stam kelim of a goy, vada he used them. That's why he had them. But over here, we're dealing with situations where maybe he did not use them at all. Okay. See if Yud Kara Shashach Yisrael Abekochavim im Ma'achal, and it's clear that when it's returned, it was not washed, and the same Ma'achal is there, so you know he didn't use it. Okay. See if Yud Aleph. klei su'uda shebiyad oved kochavim. U'mesiach lefitumo. Again, remember, mesiach lefitumo, the goy has a degree of ne'amonos. Va'omer shechadoshim heim. V'yira'eh shehu kamo shehu omer muta lefnos ha'mimenu. Whereas the example over here is, let's say, you live in 5 towns, and you're driving down the street, and a sign yard sale. So you're a good Jew, right? So yard sale. Maybe there are metzias there, so you go in. And you see this pressure cooker, this pot, right, that looks new. And the guy, the owner of the house, looks over and says, I want you to know I never used that. In other words, I bought it, and then my wife says she's afraid of pressure cookers, it will blow up in her face. So that's why I'm selling it, but I never used it. It looks new. And he's Mesiach Lufi Tumo. You didn't even ask him anything. He's just, so then you can be Somach. If he says that it looks that way, so then Mutal Eknosam Imenu. You're allowed to buy it in such a situation. V'yesho Omrim Shemachmirim Va'omrim She'eno Ne'eman V'en L'kakli Mena Ovei Kochavim. Some say even then, maybe he's not exactly Mesiach Lufi Tumo. He wants to get rid of everything in the yard sale, and this is his pitch. Because he knows, he lives in a Jewish neighborhood, he knows that a Jew isn't going to buy something that he already used. Okay, but what you can do is rakusha mocher harbe kelim. Go into a store. You go into a store owned by Mr. O'Toole, and he's selling kelim, and just pick one kli out. The likelihood that he used his merchandise and dafka this kli is almost zero, and so you're allowed to purchase certainly from a goy v'chein noagin l'chatzchila. אבל במקום הצחק גון שנתארח בבית עובי כוכב ואין לו כלים, נוהגים כספר ראשון. But let's say that you're stuck, you know, it's in, you know, you're on a flight, and the airplane, you know, brought you to Bangor, Maine, and there's no Jews in Bangor, Maine, assuming during the winter. No Jews are smart, they go to Florida. Right? So there are no Jews in Bangor, Maine in the winter, and so you're put up in some hotel, and they have pity on you, and they say, remember, once upon a time there used to be Jews in Bangor, and we have kelim that we've never used, and we'll show you, take it out of the wrapper, etc. So then, you know, you can be somech on that if it looks like it, and they're, you know, relatively mesiach lefi tumam, so then one is allowed to use it. Yesh misha omer sheka'aros habaos me'ever layam, שכערות ירקרקות או אדנמות עושה להשתמש בהם לעולם בחמן שאינן חדוש אז בכל מיני משתמשים בהם ואינו ניכר. So we're back to our yard sale. If you were to buy these in a store, it would not be a problem. But I was told that in America there are many stores that have this policy that if you return something within 36 hours, the store will take it back without no questions asked. And unfortunately, there are people, hopefully not Jews, who take a bit advantage of these sales and, you know, let's say buy it on Friday, use them on a Saturday, and then return them on a Sunday. You know, it's that way. They had a nice set of dishes. And the store is going to resell it. Right? So, but generally, the store would resell it, you know, like on a big sale. So you have to be frightened. You have to be, you know, you should always, not that frightened or scared, you should always be wary. That a big sale means something is wrong somewhere. Right? So maybe it was really used once in one of these people that he took it and he wants to return it, but it was really used. But if everything is still in the cellophane, you know, it looks like it's really coming from the factory, then yitachen that one can be mekil. I just skipped a line that I remember in the end of the Ramah Sif Tes, where he points out that ulchatzchila with a little test of the shachis ulchatzchila yesh liizoyer b'chol inyan afilu b'avonim u'shvakos meyotei kochavim shebeis Yisrael shelo liyachid kelim shalanu etzlan shema yishtamshu b'hem b'dvorim ha'asurim, that even if you have maids, you have help, that they should not have easy access to kelim of a Jew, because it's very likely that they're going to make things for themselves with these kelim, even if you tell them not to. And so, you know, basically there should be some sort of a check and balance. So the Shach points out we're not noeg that way. We're not noeg to put all the kelim under lock and key. So he says that we're samech on nichnas v'yotze. We're samech on mirtas. That the goy, you know, doesn't want to get caught. But that would depend. If every morning all the Jews leave the house at 7 in the morning and everyone comes back at 5 in the afternoon, then you can't very well say mirtas that you're going to walk in the middle of the day. Right? So then, really, there should be some sort of a check and balance, maybe a camera in the kitchen or something, you know, something that the goy, because goyim also have appetites, and they don't, and it could be that they say, well, what am I doing wrong? I'm cooking something kosher. They don't know dina bishalakum. There's a lot of things they don't know. They don't even know what the standards of kashrus of the balabayas may be. In other words, so they may buy, you know, it's, I don't want to say, you know, a certain brand that the balabayas would not eat, and you know, then when he's not around, they would use it. Okay, kachavi. These are things that happen. Adkan hakafa aleph. Okay. So we finish Yeridaya. So all we have to do is just finish Or HaChayim. So we'll just do two simanim in Or HaChayim, Tafnun Aleph and Tafnun Beis. And the beauty of it is, you know, you have Mishneh Berurah. If you want to, I have no objection. If you want to learn Machaber Rama and Mishneh Berurah rather than necessarily go through the Magen Avraham and the Taz, you're welcome to. In other words, it's a question just of having a familiarity with the dinim of Hechsher Kelim. And so we'll go through them relatively at the pace we went through Kuf Kaf Beis, not at the pace that we went through Kuf Kaf Aleph. Okay, in other words, we'll try and do it in two shiur. Okay, so one more shiur than I had thought. So next year will be a week from today, and then a week from Thursday, and then you'll have 2 weeks to study for the Bechina on these seven shiur. Not days of the world.
What? Thursday, there's no shiur.
This Thursday, I'm not giving shiur. I can't speak for any. Rabbi Bednar, she's giving shiur, I believe, on the calendar, no?
Oh,
finished it?
Two-part shiur. There's one today.
What?
There's one today.
Yeah.
I think it's a two-part shiur.
It's a two-part shiur. So you normally give shiur on Monday and Thursday morning.
Yes, Thursday.
So I assume that he'll give shiur on Thursday, but I'm not going to give shiur on Thursday.
It was in the morning.
Right? Okay. Beseder?
I don't know.
I gave these shiur